Welcome to the Electronic Entertainment Expo Extravaganza, only on GamingUncensored.com.
It's E4. Hey, what is up? Welcome to E4, Episode 7, the roundtable edition of E4 this year. Of course, I'm Tommy. Jamie's sitting over there. What's up, man?
What is going on?
We're also joined for the roundtable with Cabbage. What's up,
Hello.
Cabbage?
Not much.
Jumping over words. I'm distracted. I'll tell you why in just a second. We also have Spider here. What's up, Spider?
Hello, everyone out in cyberspace.
We also have Josh from Australia. What's up, Josh?
Hey, good to be here.
And then, special first appearance on the roundtable, which is super exciting. We are joined by the sexy sidekick. What's up, sexy sidekick?
Not much.
And little girl is sitting here, too. So you may hear her in the background as well. And so, we'll have a good roundtable. I'm excited about it. So topic, obviously, is going to be E3 and everything that surrounds that. But we're going to start, because she's here with the sexy sidekick, and get her impressions of E3, if she wants to share any impressions of E3. But also of having Jamie in your house for the last week and what that's been like for you. So here she is.
So I didn't see all of the press conferences, but a lot of them.
Yeah.
I felt like I saw several. I wasn't impressed with the people on stage for the most part. Don't you think that's accurate? The game seemed really nice. One of my passions as a librarian is diversity in books, and the people on stage weren't diverse. It was white guys for the most part. And I mean, I understand that. I think
a grouping of white guys.
Yeah. I think that y'all are all white guys, probably.
Yes.
Except little Lozier. But that's, I understand. I just think if you're getting paid. Anyway, I could kind of go off on that for a while, but I'll focus back in a little bit. So sorry. But I mean, the games, I feel like there were several female protagonists. I really liked the one where there was the lesbian couple in the barn.
The Last of Us.
Yeah, The Last of Us. I really liked, I mean, obviously the kiss was, for sex appeal, but I think it was nice that it was a story about a lesbian couple. You know, that was nice. That wasn't just like lesbianness. It was like a backstory to it. So,
lesbianness was a point.
Yeah. Anyway, so we won't get too off topic on that, but I thought, that was nice. I don't know what else were my comments, mostly about that.
Mostly snark.
lots of snark.
Yeah.
Next year she's getting her own mic.
But I thought, there was exciting games. They looked fun. I think the most amazing thing is the graphics of video games. It's just really insane, to be honest with you. It's crazy.
It is crazy.
How far it's come.
So, your thoughts of having Jamie in the house?
I've had Jamie in our house several times.
That's fair.
So, it was a little different because of the baby, So, that was just... But he really likes the little girl, so that's nice. I mean, it's always nice for someone to be surrounded with love, so.
I'm a fan.
She's not too sure of Jamie, but. But, I mean, she's not too sure of many things. Like, she's real sure about bottles. She's really sure about her clock that she loves. She's pretty sure about mom and dad. Yeah. Most of the time. That's about it.
Just give me a couple years. When I can give her a ride, we'll be all right. It'll be all right.
Yeah, I think that she'll be a fan. I think it's, just like everything, it takes time. But it was nice. I mean, I think that, like, Yeah. You know, I've known Jamie pretty close to the same amount of time that Tommy has. And he's been coming to our house since we lived in Canyon, Texas, in a two-bedroom rent house. So I feel like Jamie knows us all well.
Yeah, this is definitely our nicest house that Jamie's ever
been in. Oh, definitely.
Yeah!
So we've been moving up, which has been nice over the past
years.
And I think that the accessibility, even though it hasn't gotten great, still no accessible bathroom, the stairs have, I feel like, gotten lower and lower and lower.
Yeah, this was the easiest house for Jamie to get into.
Yeah.
That we've lived in. That was nice.
Yeah. That was nice.
Ten more years and I might actually get to stay there.
I don't think that's going to happen, but you can keep hoping. But we also live close to, like, restaurants and stuff, so that was nice.
Yeah.
Because our house in Memphis, we didn't live close to restaurants, so we couldn't just roll down the street, but we were able to roll down the street. So, you know.
Yeah.
Works out really well when you're drinking.
You don't drive, Jamie. It doesn't matter where you're drinking. You can be drunk.
I mean, he kind of drives.
Well, I guess he kind of drives. But can I don't you think get, you get a ticket.
Can you get pulled out? Yeah, can you get a ticket for drunk wheelchair driving? Because...
Okay, I have a story about that real quick.
Of course you do.
We're going off on a little tangent because people always ask me that, right? So I was at a restaurant about 10 years ago in line to get food in front of a cop. And we started talking, and he's joking around with me about the chair and stuff. And I said, "Hey, let me ask you a question. Have you ever given somebody a ticket for being drunk in a wheelchair?" And he goes, "Are you kidding me?" He said, "I've never given anybody a ticket." He said, "The last guy that was drunk and dangerous in a wheelchair, I threw his ass in the hole and took a chair." And I'm like, okay, good to know. So apparently you can't get into trouble if you are under the influence in a wheelchair.
I think he was just jerking your chain because he thought you were a jackass.
Either way, it's a good story.
No, he actually told me there's a guy... There's a guy that runs around downtown in a chair, and he told me it was that guy, and the last time that he threw him in the hole, it was because he had flipped his chair over in the middle of the street downtown.
And so, is this actually you? Is this your story, Jamie? Just be honest. Just open up here. We're all friends.
Really quick, before the sexy sidekick heads out, because this is the first time she's on the roundtable, anybody have any questions for the sexy sidekick? Just throw that out there. See, maybe you've been curious to ask the sexy sidekick something in the past. Here's your chance.
What do you miss most about Memphis?
The food. And, like, two people. There's, like, two people I really miss.
But, so Dallas food isn't good?
Not as good as Memphis. Okay. Not even close. Because, like, in Memphis, like, if somebody says, "Hey, I'm going to Memphis," I'll list you, like, 7 restaurants automatically. In Dallas, I'm like, there's not really any restaurant that I'm like, you have to go to this restaurant. But in Memphis, I'm like, you have to go to Muddy's. You have to go to Second Line. You have to go to Elena's Taco Shop. You know,
I have to admit that the tacos on Thursday were probably my favorite thing that we had. Those tacos were fantastic.
The cheese fries were really good, Jamie.
Yeah, the cheese fries were good. That was the first night, but
we do like food, and so that's a theme always for Gaming Uncensored is what food we eat.
Yeah, I mean, the question I was going to have was, how do you put up with Jamie in your house? But we already covered that, so.
Any other tips?
Well, it was a little easier without the baby because I could like escape a little easier if it was getting a little much. But with a baby, it's really hard to just like leave the house. It's, you have to get the diaper bag and the car seat and on and on.
And here's the thing about Jamie. I don't know if y'all know this. This may be a surprise. Jamie's kind of loud.
What?
No.
And so with the baby, every once in a while, Jamie doesn't have the best control of volume when he gets excited. And so like when we were putting...
Similar to the baby.
So like when we were putting together the labo and attempting to be quiet, it failed pretty quickly.
Dude, we were drinking bourbon. What do you expect?
No, it's the first night without the bourbon.
Little girl has something to say.
Yeah,
you want to tell them about Uncle Jamie?
No, now
she's
you're going
like,
to be shy.
Oh, wow, that microphone's intimidating.
Okay, maybe next
time. That's all right, we'll get her over that. We'll get her past that.
Anything else you want to add about E3? Just hang out for a little bit on the round table?
I did like the labo. I thought it was really, that's it, right? The labo, it's really cool. I really liked it.
Yeah, the sexy sidekick we've mentioned before is a librarian at an elementary school. And so the labo seems like right in that wheelhouse.
Yeah. Right now, a big trend in elementary school libraries. I'm sure y'all know this because y'all. But
yes.
is maker spaces. And so like making things and coding and robotics and all that kind of stuff. And so the labo is just like exactly that. It would take an elementary student a lot longer, but quite a bit longer than it took Tommy and Jamie, but you know, I think they would have figured out how to fast forward faster, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it took us like 2 hours to figure out how to fast forward. Yeah,
it took us way longer than it should have to figure that out. So good time to mention the Patreon, by the way. If you want to see the video of us putting together Labo, you can do that. Go donate at the Patreon, gamingcensored.com, right there at the top of the page. And you can even hear the sexy sidekick being snarky in the background, which is honestly the best part of those videos. They are riveting. I'm telling you, riveting.
Yeah, seriously, next year, she's going to have her own mic.
Yeah, we need to have a mic for her. So. We'll see what happens. Any other thoughts on E3? Sorry, I didn't mean to hit you. We're sitting really close to each other.
I don't have any other thoughts on E3. Oh, I did like that game that you and Jamie were playing that had the mouse.
Moss, the VR game. Oh. Yeah. It was cool.
And Tommy told me that they're going to have a VR Settlers of Catan, which, I mean, I like Settlers.
Oh, so sweet. That's awesome.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know how you play it VR, but whatever.
Like, it's literally like the board in the middle and like you just play the game in virtual reality. It's a little weird. It's not like a game adaptation of Settlers of Catan. It's literally the board game in a virtual space.
Oh, well, that's lame. I thought I was going to get to go around the hexes. Okay.
So sorry, but good thought. So awesome. Well, we'll move on to other thoughts on E3 then. So, Cabbage, I'm coming to you first. What were your what games you liked or just general thoughts, reflections on E3? Anywhere you want to go.
All right. Well, yeah. I mean, there was obviously tons of good stuff. I had to pull up this list of like everything that was shown because as is typical with E3, you're going to miss stuff. Cause I just wanted to be reminded of things. I mean, I will say, so yeah. One thing I wanted to talk about, probably get into, is the whole press conference thing. Because that kind of frames my overall feeling on E3, which is I really don't care where a game is coming from or how it's being presented to me necessarily, except for, hey, did I get to see the gameplay and do I know what it is and when it's coming and does it look like an actual game and not just a, you know, a thin maybe promise of a game? That those are the details I care about. I personally do not care about press conferences. I actually stopped watching them after last year's because, to me, E3 press conferences are either going to be cringy and slow and they take too long to get through, or they're kind of, and they could be both, or they're kind of these weird, like, culty pat on the back things, you know, like, they'll, you know how they always do it. Apple does the same thing in their keynotes where they flood the seats next to the stage with all their employees or all the engineers or whatever, so that all the big applause and all the crazy reactions are sort of amplified in that way. It's just not something I find enjoyable. I've never watched one that I was blown away by, so I don't watch them. So I've just been hearing a lot of people complain about those. I was listening to your guys' episodes, and I know obviously you sat through them, so obviously you'd complain if they were boring or weird or something. But I just don't really care. I mean, and I do have to say this specifically, because I heard about the Sony press conference being like uncomfortable for the people that were there, and then people were watching. It was also kind of weird, too. I kind of have no sympathy for gaming journalists who had to stand in a hot room for a little bit to see the world premiere of a badass new video game. Everybody, like, I don't care. Like, you're, and then they get moved to another room and they're uncomfortable. Yeah, it's a little, well, and it's just kind of, there was a lot, like a lot of games journalists or people from podcasts or something complaining about it. Even people I tend to like respect and listen to and all that. They just came off being very whiny that, like, oh, we had to go through this thing that Sony prepared for us to experience in a certain way, and because we were hot and had to stand for a while. Like, okay, you're being ridiculous. And I guess the rest of the conference was also weird. I was hearing weird, like, there were these things from that Dream game where they'd have a little creature playing an instrument in between games and stuff that was weird. Again, this is why I don't watch press conferences. Obviously, that doesn't help the people that have to. I'm just saying. Like, I want to know what the games are. And when it comes to showing games, not that there weren't good games shown at the Microsoft conference, because there were great games, but none of them were exclusive, except for Gears and, like, Halo and Forza, which are good games, but I don't consider them great, exciting things anymore. You know, they're not the things that make me excited. And so they didn't show me that. A reason for me to be proud of having an Xbox, unlike Sony, who showed, you know, their four major games, as well as some other stuff that's also exclusive-ish, you know, it might be like it's on PS4 and also PC or whatever, but the four major games made me, like, yet again, happy that I have a PS4, because that's what Sony does. They care about having games that define their brand and what's available on their brand, a lot like Nintendo. Microsoft, at least this generation, doesn't really care about that. I think they gave up a while ago and they just want to be the second or maybe third place in the group, and they just want to be like a platform where there's the feeling of, well, people are going to come here because it's where they've been before to play with their friends kind of things. So we'll host the next Call of Duty. They're kind of like a host, and that's what their conference was. They showed great games from what I saw that they showed when I watched clips, but like that all they're really doing is being a glorified advertising platform for games that I can play on any of the consoles now, except for Switch,
or
I guess.
PC.
And that's what I mean, and PC, you know, like I just think so. And I will say I've been going for a while, but I will say in terms of like, even though we saw a lot of great games, I was disappointed that Nintendo didn't show, I don't know, maybe it's too early, but they didn't really talk about Metroid Prime, or they didn't talk about a lot of stuff. They didn't have a strong showing, because I'm personally not a huge Smash Bros. Fan. Just not. It's a good, fun game for what it is, but it's not going to get me excited like Mario Odyssey or Breath of the Wild kind of game would. So that was kind of disappointing, but overall, great games. The new game from Software, which sounds hilarious to say. The Dark Souls developer looks great. That Ghost of Tsushima, like, what the hell? That's a real game that we're going to play someday. Spider-Man looks insane, and we get that this year. The stuff you can do in that looks... I can't believe that's a real game we get to play this year. Yeah. Anyway, that's my whole ramble.
I'm going to take us on a little turn real quick because I want to hit on something that Cabbage talked about and get Josh and Spider in on. Is the idea of the press conferences, if you like the press conference or if you don't. Josh, we'll come back to games here in just a second, but what's your general take on just E3 press conferences in general? Do you watch them? Do you enjoy them? Yeah.
Yeah. I was actually thinking as Cabbage was saying, I'll go in a little bit of a different direction just because I actually agree with pretty much everything Cabbage said. The press conferences, you know, they can be a bit lame and they can, you know, have really, can be a bit awkward at times. But overall, I like that they have the press conferences and I do enjoy the press conferences as a whole. I'm not a big sporting guy. I'm not really into any sort of sports. So E3 comes around and it's sort of like, you know, my Super Bowl in a way. It's not just, and the analogy I draw to professional sports is, you know, it's not just, you know, everyone likes the game and they'll watch the game and play the game, but then there's sort of like the discussion that comes around afterwards. So my friends and I will watch the press conferences and we'll listen to what other people have to say and then we'll discuss them ourselves. And, you know, you can't take it too seriously, but, you know, have a bit of fun with it. And yeah, it's always good to see what each of the big guns brings. Because otherwise, I mean, if you do take away a bit of the pomp and the show, the press conferences, all we'd be left with is just, you know, releasing game trailers, which is all good and all. But I think that the press conferences is what sort of brings everything together and makes E3 what it is.
Spider, I'm curious about your thoughts too and your experience going to the PlayStation experience thing this year, what that was like.
So unfortunately I ended up not getting tickets. I like was on the site and apparently there was a whole slew of comments from people saying that they were there when they went live with it and they didn't get in. So unfortunately, so I watched from home. But what I did this year that I hadn't done before is I started watching Giant Bomb's coverage because they talk over the press conferences. So during the dry parts, it's fun because they add a lot of, you know, light and fun commentary to what's going on. Some of the best parts were like when, what's that artist named Andrew? That was at the Bethesda.
Andrew WK
came out and they were like cutting to people in the audience and their commentary moments on that were great. So I've watched them in the past and enjoyed them, but yeah, it's just having someone else there to fill in like the boring parts where the talking heads up there was really nice. So I think I'm gonna continue. It'd be nice to see you guys actually do that as a suggestion going forward.
I like suggestions.
We can do that because we now have the tech.
Our super fancy green screening.
Yeah.
Tech stuff. Jamie, what's your thought on the press conference thing? Because I think you and I are probably going to land a similar place, but I'd like to hear your take too.
I feel like they are part of E3, and if they're not there, it's a whole lot like what Josh said. It's not really E3. But I also agree with Cabbage that they tend to get a little cringy, and that's not an old guy word. That's a millennial word that I've just learned. And I actually had to ask somebody what it meant. I'm like,
it means?
like seriously,
you need better context clue skills. Cringe.
I'm just saying. I never heard that. Tommy, have you ever heard that before you started teaching kids?
That's of course.
Not a thing, really, that
not
I ever heard.
Before he started teaching kids, he's been teaching in college for 10 years.
So I'm just saying.
I know the word cringe, you know, yeah. From. Anyway. Yes.
All right. So here's the thing. They are what they are at this point, but E3 is not E3 without them.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I would even add to it that, like, the cringiness of E3 press conferences is part of the fun of E3, you know, like it's just always been it. There was that era of E3 in like the mid 2000s where they made it the more like developer centric conference, and it was special invite only, and it was way scaled back, and those sucked. They were just bad. They weren't entertaining. They were just weird and whatever. And then they went back to the spectacle, and it's fun because it is over the top and it's gimmicky, and when they do stupid cringeworthy stuff for two guys that host a gaming podcast, it gives us lots of fodder to talk about, which is fun too. It is part of the experience, and at the end of the day, I enjoy getting to watch the press conferences for all the spectacle and ridiculousness that they are.
Yeah, I'd compare it to, like, if you look at the way the press conferences went versus the directs that, like, Nintendo and Square did, the press conferences were way more fun in comparison. Yes.
It's like professional wrestling, you know? It's kind of like a soap opera. You know what's coming, but you still sort of kind of have to watch.
Yeah, and it has payoffs, like the Cyberpunk 2077 trailer at the end of Microsoft. You know, like, there was this build of anticipation, and then when they did the gimmicky, cheesy, glitchy thing and went to the trailer and all that stuff, like, it was fun. There was just a payoff there that is different than just, like, pulling up YouTube and clicking on a link when you know exactly what's going. Like, it gives you just a little bit of suspense and drama and something that's happening live or real time or whatever. So yeah, I totally get where Cabbage is coming from. And if we didn't do the show, I probably wouldn't sit and watch every press conference, but I enjoy it as part of E3 for sure.
I think as a non-serious gamer, only now Candy Crush gamer, watching them, I just feel like if they're going to put that much money into something, it should be smoother. I felt like it was, like, if I went to a church with those type of transitions, I would say, they need to get their stuff together. This is ridiculous. You know, some of the transitions are just so bad, and they're paying millions of dollars for this, you know, and it's like the pinnacle of some of their careers, and instead of it being, like, smooth and all that, like, I just think for that much money, their event planner or whoever plans it should be better.
Well, and I think part of the problem is that us as gamers has gotten so used to it, because I remember when Aisha Tyler took over for Ubisoft and how much crap we gave her, but now I wish she would come back because she was actually entertaining. So I think it's partially on us because we get used to E3 being what it is.
Yes. Aisha Tyler, too, speaking of cringy, would always have the cringiest moments of E3. So all that being said, back to the important thing in the games. And so, Josh, back to you. What did you see at E3 that piqued your interest?
There was lots and lots of really, really amazing titles coming. So most of them at the moment, and look, there's so much content. I'm sure I haven't seen all of it. I'm just sort of trying to, keep up to date with things as they were coming out. But there's stuff that's fallen between the cracks. But that being said, the big standouts were mostly from the Sony press conference. So I won't get in too much into Last of Us. Like, that's just almost a given. That looks amazing. I don't think there'd be many people that would disagree. Spider-Man, Cabbage mentioned before, that looks absolutely fantastic. I haven't played a Spider-Man game since, I think, like, PlayStation 1 days. But no, I'm really looking forward to that. Ghost of Tsushima, I'm really looking forward to that now. I thought that trailer looked really cool. The setting during the Mongol invasion of Japan, I think is really interesting. I found some other details about that game. That looks like that's going to be a lot of fun, a really cool game. Cyberpunk 2077, I'm glad we got to see some more details on that. Too bad. Have they shown any gameplay yet? I know they have the closed-door session.
I don't believe so. I think it's all been closed doors, which is really sad. I really want to see the game in action.
Yep. So yeah, I hope we see some more of that soon because the setting looks absolutely phenomenal. And Death Stranding, I don't know what the crap's going on with that, but
I think that's the point.
Anyone does. Yeah. So it's piqued my interest. I'll say that much. So those are probably my standouts at the moment. My good standouts. There's a couple of what the hell was that moments as well, but maybe we'll get to those later.
so that's
he's going full David Lynch, Hideo Kojima with that game. Yes. Just bonkers. Nobody knows what's going on.
Yeah. So that's two of two. That's pretty heavy on the Sony software. What about you, Spider?
So I wanted to bring up three games that probably won't get talked about just because I did see coverage on them, but I only one of them actually came up in a press conference, and the coverage was probably like 30 second trailer, so it may have got missed. The first one is Mutant Year Zero: Road to Eden. Have any of you guys seen or heard anything about this?
No.
So it's based, I found out it's based on a tabletop RPG from like 20 years ago, apparently. But basically the gameplay is XCOM, but instead of like having the base building thing and then you get your troop together and they go down to a planet and they start the battle there, it's more of an open world. So you're just kind of wandering around. And when you get to specific areas, then the grid system appears and you can, you know, get the cover that you need and pull out your weapons. And so it's got a cool aesthetic, and it just kind of drew me in when I found out, I mean, because I'm a big, huge XCOM fan. So that's one to look out for. Another one I saw was Two Point Hospital, Tommy's familiar with this one. Yeah, like that a hospital building simulator. But the fun part is that all the patients have like really odd quirks that need to be taken care of. So that one was fun to see. And apparently that's a reimagining of a game from like 20 years ago. There was another hospital sim that I never played, but they were talking about it on, I think it was IGN's coverage. And then the third game was Octopath Traveler.
We are excited about Octopath.
I love the art style in that, and watching the coverage on that. So apparently there's 8 different classes of characters, but you play them in whatever order you want to. Each one has their own story, and then the stories start to interweave with each other as you're playing through. And it's your traditional RPG setting and attacks and stuff like that. But the style of it just looks, it's like, I think they described it as like 2D HD as the kind of the thing it's going for, but that one looks really cool as well. So those are the three I saw that I don't think will get as much coverage that I wanted to bring up.
I'm excited that we covered two out of the three that you came up with. So
I haven't got to the other podcast yet. I've only got through episode 0 so far, so I didn't know you guys had gone through those.
And we did a Patreon video on Octopath Traveler.
Nice. So check that out.
You'll get a little bit more Octopath Traveler too. We probably should have done Two Point Hospital and just ran out of time. Two Point Hospital looks fantastic. So we did talk about it in the PC and UV show. I think those were the two we did together. So
okay,
it is in there too because we dug it. We thought it looked very entertaining. So awesome. I do like that though, because honestly, most of the time out of E3, the games that I'm really excited about are some of those titles, and so I'm really excited about Unravel 2 and Sea of Solitude. I'm also really excited about Tunic. That was in the Xbox conference. That looks super cool. And so, there's a lot of those kind of titles that come out of E3 that are really fun.
Was Sea of Solitude the one with the woman came out, she was talking about how sadness played a part
in her
developing the game? Okay, yeah, that does look cool, too.
Yeah.
This Mutant Year Zero looks great, so I'm glad you brought our attention to it, because I had no idea what it was.
If you like XCOM, then that looks like it's right up your alley.
Yeah.
I'm super excited for that one.
I just pulled it up on Steam too, so it does look super cool. So that was one I had not heard about. So thank you, Spider, for that.
Yeah,
very, very cool. I think Jamie and I have talked ad nauseum about the games that we're excited about. So if there's any you want to add in here, Jamie, feel free.
I am just really, I don't know how we're all going to get to 2019. That's all I have to really say about that.
Or 2020 or 2021 or whatever year Beyond Good and Evil 2 comes out.
My only thing is how do we get there? Because when we get there, there's going to be a lot of good freaking software. Yes. One question I do want to ask, does anybody know what the deal is with February 22nd? Because we never figured
that's
it out.
That's weird. I feel like that happened because of, like, it must be some weird, like, snowball effect of, like, multiple release times. Because you know how it goes, like, you'll have a year where a bunch of games are going to be out in a holiday season, and some of the publishers start getting antsy about it, and they're thinking, okay, maybe we'll delay here, maybe we'll push this back there. I feel like it's just a lot of maybe weird, like, checkers or something being played with release dates where all of a sudden they just all happen to be in a random time of the year that big games almost never get released. We're just deciding now it's random week in February. It's like, okay, this is interesting.
It is bizarre. What are, it's Days Gone, Anthem. What were the other two? There were two more big ones that are coming out on February 22nd. That now Kingdom Hearts?
Crackdown.
Crackdown. Yeah, yeah, Crackdown was one. And Metro 20, whatever, 30, Exodus, Metro Exodus was there. Kingdom Hearts comes out like the end of January.
Yeah.
And then there was something else that came out right at the end of January, too.
I have to say, and I'm super biased with Kingdom Hearts because I played it when I was young. The fact that we're actually getting it, hopefully, in January is just joyous for me. Like, the game, the story makes no sense. And with each game, it's gotten more convoluted and ridiculous. The story's fun as you're sort of experiencing it because it's crazy anime, funny, over-the-top stuff. But for the most part, it's just, I mean, it's what you see is what I'm excited about. It's like you get to go to all these insane Disney worlds mixed in Final Fantasy elements. And then the fact now that, like, the engine, honestly, it looks like you're actually watching some of those movies when you're watching the gameplay. You can just literally be in that movie and play around with these characters. It's just, it's such a crazy thing that's ever existed. The fact that we ever got that game and how pretty good they've been. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, that's fair. I want to ask quickly what cringy or disappointing or those kinds of things, and Josh had hinted at one earlier, so I'm coming to you first, Josh. Disappointments or cringiness from E3?
Yeah, so the big one that's this is going to be like a excuse me, it's going to seem pretty minor, but the one that sort of ground my gears a little bit was Bethesda's announcement of their new sci-fi IP called Starfield.
I was going to say,
show you a teaser trailer. Yep. And I'm like, you just wasted 40 seconds of my life. Like, honestly, that is not even a teaser trailer. That's just like, here's 40 seconds to tell you what we just told you in two words. Like,
same with Elder Scrolls 6, you know?
Yeah, and then they followed it up with Elder Scrolls 6. And I mean, that one was almost even worse because it was like, well, yeah, we already knew you weren't not working on Elder Scrolls 6. So...
yeah. It tells you that they don't have enough faith in Fallout 76 to be their big bomb, you know, their big bombshell thing is like the game they're making. I feel like they probably don't. And I'm skeptical of that because Bethesda always makes their glitchy stuff when it's a single player game. What do you think is going to happen when it's a big open world Fallout online game made by them? That is going to be probably a disaster. And I kind of wish that they would have just made another... you know, give Obsidian Fallout again. Have them make the new version of New Vegas, essentially. Like,
oh yeah!
But instead of that, we get an open world online Fallout game. I kind of don't care.
I'm hoping it's good. The thing that's clinching, you know, that the devs are talking about Fallout 76, and oh, we've got this you can find the launch codes to nukes, and it's going to create this, you know, Cold War sort of mad situation between the players. I'm like, yeah, but mad only works if there's actual consequence for your actions. I'm like, people aren't going to care. They're sweet. No. Fire, launch the missiles.
Yeah, there is zero chance that if I came across, like, the method to launch the nuke in a game like that, that I'm not going to immediately see what happens when I do it. Exactly. You know, like,
oh no, the consequences, you might lose your digital shanty town that you've built up. Oh no.
Yeah, that's fair. So that's a good one. I think that's I heard Cabbage echo too. I would echo that as well. Spider, what about you? Any disappointments out of E3 or cringiness or whatever?
The two that I was kind of hoping to hear more about were Metroid 4. There was zero mention about what's happening in Metroid Prime 4. And there was zero mention of Final Fantasy VII Remake. So that doesn't give me
forgot about a whole lot
of faith on what's happening with that. I mean, Metroid was just like, you know, it was kind of like the Elder Scrolls thing this year. It was like, here's a picture and we're working on it. So I was hoping to at least see something, but I'm kind of maybe, but although think about it, Nintendo tends to be like, okay, here's this game and it's coming out in 3 months from now. So maybe they're holding it off until they actually have, you know, a release date that's really close and next year we'll actually see it and then they'll drop it in the fall or something.
Well, and speaking of Bethesda, with what you're just saying there with Nintendo, that's what Bethesda did with Fallout 4. You know, they had this reputation of, oh, we're not going to show it till it's ready. Now it's let's show two fonts basically floating above. Like, these games don't exist. Like Starfield, and they said Elder Scrolls 6 is not. We're not even going to get that game until after Starfield, which in itself is they said next gen. Yep. So it's like we're not going to get either of these games for maybe 3-4 years plus.
Yeah.
So why are you even talking about it?
Yeah. And I'll add to that really quick. They did do that thing with Fallout 76, what they did with Fallout 4, because it's coming. But Jamie made a comment while we were sitting and watching the press conference that I don't think we've talked about. So I'm going to, I don't know if this is writing you out, Jamie, but a peek behind the curtain while we were just sitting and watching and talking. Jamie, early on, whenever they were showing Fallout 76, said, man, this looks early. Like, this is going to be a while. And then 10 minutes later, they said, coming in November or whatever. It's like, whoa, wait, what? Really? Y'all are that far along? Because it doesn't quite look that far along. Like, it looks like it's making progress, but we were thinking a 2019 title pretty easy. And so, yet another little skepticism about Fallout 76 going forward. I hope it's good. I want it to be good. I love Fallout. I love that world. And I'll play it. But yeah, it's I think, Cabbage, you're dead on that. They felt like they needed to have a couple of big show announcements. Because even though nobody knew Fallout 76 even existed until a week before E3, it still didn't feel like the big reveal that a Fallout game should be.
And did they show, because when Fallout 5, for instance, or 4, when that was shown back in the E3 of that year, they showed the trailer and then they were like, oh, by the way, it's coming out this year. And then in the conference, they had tons of gameplay, right?
Yeah.
Did we have actual gameplay of this one?
No. They had live gameplay. They had like,
I think the videos of gameplay. Yeah.
They had like gameplay running on a loop kind of thing. And so you could see kind of the vibe of it, how it works. But for instance, like VATS, which is a big question mark, how are they going to do that in Fallout 76? They didn't show that in the press conference. They didn't say, here's how VATS is going to work, which in the past, like even with Fallout 4, they're like, here's how VATS looks in this game. You know, like, you already know this system, but here it is and what we've done to change it and update it or whatever. There was none of that. There wasn't, they didn't really show the base building element in depth or any of that stuff. It was, they showed emotes, like you can make your character give a thumbs up to other characters, you know.
But you know, okay, here's my, you want to know what my prediction for this game is? This Fallout 76 is going to be Fortnite. It's going to be Fortnite in the sense that they're trying to make it this one thing, and then they're going to put out a battle royale mode and then just abandon the other mode because they're going to realize, oh, people just want to do Fallout battle royale and we'll just get rid of it. I hope that doesn't happen. I hope it's an interesting, unique online little post-apocalyptic game, and I'll play it if it
if it looks good, if it looks fun.
If
but
if they do that and Fallout becomes a Battle Royale game, I may have a stroke.
Everything's going to be Battle Royale. So it's Last of Us Battle Royale.
It's going to be a game mode of who gets the nuke first. Like, that's the compelling thing at this point.
Exactly. So that's what they're going to do. They're going to take that concept that they flirted with in the thing and say, we could just make that the whole game. Just have them rush to the center of the map to get the nuke, and then you win. Oh, God, I hope that doesn't happen.
I want to see
that, but that's absolutely right. Fortnite wasn't designed as a Battle Royale game, and now it's the Battle Royale.
And that game is never going to really come out, right? We don't think that. Because I think it's still in beta, the actual Fortnite game. Yeah, I don't think they care. That's done.
I want to see like a Tetris Battle Royale game, but it's like in real life where everyone has old school Game Boys and they have to go find the four batteries to put into their Game Boy. And then they're slowly the circle closes in on them and it moves them all closer. I don't know. There's something fun there that could happen.
See, that I would play that.
Like opening up like your TV remote to see if there's AA batteries in there.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Lovely. Take it. Cabbage, any other disappointment, cringy things from you?
I kind of think, and I'm just so biased, and we've talked about it before. Bethesda always bugs me, and we basically covered all of it there. But in terms of disappointments, I guess, and it's probably just too early on, but in terms of stuff they publish, because they are, of course, are a big publisher now, I was a huge fan of that Doom game, so I was hoping to see more of the second game, and they just pretty much showed just a title, at least, I think. I don't think they showed more than that.
No. They did talk about it briefly, and that it's going to have like twice as many demons and be bigger, but very little detail.
Yeah. And then other than that, because I'm a massive Witcher fanboy, and that pretty much makes me a CD Projekt fanboy because of how good those, especially 3 is. Like we had said a little bit, I really wanted to see more of Cyberpunk 2077. The trailer is amazing. Like that got you. If you watch that and you're not pumped, I don't know what you don't got pulse like that bumping music in the world and like the but it didn't really tell you anything about the gameplay. And then we were hearing about these closed door sessions they were giving to press. And basically, everything I have read or heard about, people are like blown away by just a little bit they saw. So it's like, damn it, I got to see this because I was also at first a little disappointed when they said, oh, it's first person. My first reaction was, I was kind of hoping it'd be big open world third-person RPG thing that plays with a lot of fun stuff in combat, and it's way easier to do that with third-person. But again, reading what people have said, playing it, and the stuff they do with the first-person actually does sound good. Obviously there's great first-person games that do a lot of different stuff beyond just shooting. You can have a game like Dishonored that does a lot of unique stuff. So honestly, even though I basically haven't seen it, I've only heard about it, that's probably still my most anticipated game, even with some stuff like Spider-Man and other things coming out this year. I don't know when we're going to get Cyberpunk. It might be a while, but I'm so interested in that game.
Eyeballs, baby!
Ripping out the dude's eye. I would agree with that. It's the game I'm most excited to play out of this E3, and it's one of the ones that's a long ways off. I don't think we're going to see it next year. I think it's going to be a 2020 game at the earliest, and maybe even down the road from there. But it does look super cool. I'll just echo really quick a couple of things that y'all already said that were big disappointments for me. Metroid Prime 4, of course, y'all know I'm a fanboy for Metroid series, and so seeing nothing of that, and Nintendo in general, no Breath of the Wild content or Mario Odyssey content, both of which I love, and Super Smash Bros., which will be cool, but it's always been just kind of a casual game to me that I like playing a little bit. It's kind of like Mario Kart or something like that. That's going to entertain me for a little while, but I'm not a serious Super Smash Bros. Person, and so I'm going to be pretty done with that game after, you know, few weeks or whatever and move on with my life. And so having so much time spent on that was a bummer to me. So Jamie, any other disappointments you want to bring up from E3 this year?
I think we talked about it on the show, but I don't think we went really in depth. I agree with everything you said, but I'll just mention, where the crap was Zelda? Like, there should have been some DLC something
There's
a lot of DLC.
They need to milk that game and add big expansions to it still, because it's still this giant map that they could put all kinds of stuff in, you know?
For crying out loud, that thing could be World of Warcraft. I mean, expansion-wise.
Just keep putting out new dungeons.
Yeah.
It's such low-hanging fruit that at one point, we talked about it on the show, at one point, more people owned the software Breath of the Wild than owned the hardware to play it on. So obviously, there's already a big install base for that. Maybe their sales were disappointing for the DLC. I haven't looked. So maybe that played into it, that they just didn't get as much return on that as they thought they were going to. But just, yeah, it just seems so obvious for me. And that's such a hardcore fan base. I'm going to pay basically whatever you put a price tag on it to play more Breath of the Wild. Like, just, yeah, agreed.
Speaking of that, I've started playing Breath of the Wild again. I picked it back up because I'd been like, or every time I'd look at it, I'd be like, do I want to get back into that? But I did start playing last night, and I am starting to enjoy myself more now that I've just, I've kind of come to the acceptance portion of the stages of depression that I'm just going to be like, you know what? I understand there's breaking weapons and I don't like the cooking. So now what I've done is I've just brought up a spreadsheet that has a list of all the recipes that are the best to make. And then I don't have to worry about that portion of things. And I've just resigned myself like, okay, we're just gonna have to deal with breaking weapons and I'm going to enjoy the rest of this. So I've been getting, it's been rising on my list now as I've been playing through it.
Good. I'm glad, because I really do think it's a fantastic game. All the faults there, it has plenty, but I love that title so much. So, any other thoughts on E3? Anybody want to put out there real quick?
There was one other game that I totally forgot to add to my list, which was Dragon Quest Builders 2. There was no mention of that either, and that supposedly is coming out next year. So I was really surprised to see nothing in the Square Enix press conference on, well, if you can call it the direct or whatever they call it on that.
That thing was terrible. It was so bad. I don't understand why Square did that.
Can we talk about that for a second? Because somebody mentioned the fact that some people just shouldn't have press conferences.
Yeah.
And I, as far as Square is concerned, I completely agree. Like, don't do that.
The thing is they have good, compelling software. Like, they have Kingdom Hearts that they could have shown off. They have the Tomb Raider game that looks really good, and they did show a little bit of it, but doing a little bit more of that. Just Cause, stop talking to me about draw distance. Talk to me about that freaking tornado. Like, the tornado looks super cool. Like, let's see that thing. Like, I like that I could see it from, like, 30 miles away, but, like, what happens when I run into it, you know? Like, they had compelling stuff, and they just... they didn't show it in a compelling way, and I was really bummed by that.
Although I did enjoy the Dragon Quest XI content. And maybe that's why Builders wasn't there, is because they wanted to give the spotlight to that. But I did enjoy the gameplay and trailers they showed for that. I need to go do more research on that game.
Did they really just show the same stuff that had already been shown?
They did for Kingdom Hearts. The Kingdom Hearts trailer was identical to what they showed in the Microsoft show.
I don't really see the point then. But.
Right.
And the best of Kingdom Hearts came out in the Sony show, which Sony had the best stuff, including the fact that they were going to have them all three in a package.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, Kingdom Hearts showing up in three press conferences is kind of impressive. Good for Kingdom Hearts.
They really want people to know that it's finally coming. We promise it's finally coming. After when did 2 come out? 2005, I think.
2005. Like, yep.
Wow.
Really? Yeah. They don't think we believe them, which is fair.
I might not believe it until I literally have the game. It's one of those things. That's kind of how Final Fantasy 15 was too, because it was like, is this really a thing? Because you guys have been talking so long and.
I'm going to mention something, and I haven't mentioned this anywhere else. It just popped in my head. That worries me about Kingdom Hearts 3, though, of what we saw of it. It looks really good. The sound on it wasn't good. just like where it felt really raw. Like it felt like they were still very early in the process on the sound side, that the sound design wasn't done, that the mixes were weird, the voices sounded too dry and sterile. It, like, it just didn't feel complete, especially matching the visuals that you had. And that stuck out to me in both what we saw in the Microsoft / Square show and what we saw in the Sony show, that in both of those cases, like, everything was good, and then the audio just set me off in a weird way.
Yeah, it was like the music and the sound effects, or the sound effects just disappeared. Like, there was still voice, but that was it, and nothing else was happening.
Yeah.
It was weird.
It was like that weird trailer for that new Mummy movie that accidentally got released. Did you ever see that?
Yeah.
It was that big story where, like, for some reason, only the vocals were in the trailer they put up for a while. It was kind of that thing. Yeah, it was weird. Maybe they're going to be rushing it, even though it is technically a while till January, but on a big game production, that probably feels like they're rushing to get the sound done. So,
So that was a little bit of a red flag for me. I'm hoping it's great. I'm excited about it. I don't remember a single thing about Kingdom Hearts story. I played the first one. I don't think I ever played the second one. But again, it was a lifetime ago that they came out. So, I'm hoping that I can jump into the third one and not feel totally lost. And like you said, the stories are so weird for those anyway. Who cares?
There's a couple of big fans of Kingdom Hearts on the Giant Bomb crew, and they both said that the Kingdom Hearts storyline is, if you took the Death Stranding storyline from what we understand so far, and then that, or just makes that look like it's totally a credible, coherent, easy to follow story.
Yep.
So that's basically where the Kingdom Hearts story is.
I mean, there's like 40 or 50 minute videos on YouTube. They're like, here's everything in the Kingdom Hearts story you need to know. It's like, Jesus. I'm going to have to watch some primer before I play the third game, because I couldn't completely tell you what happened in the last game.
Give me a 10-minute primer, not a 50-minute primer. I need the cliff notes.
Well, I'm sure there are. It's just that the point in saying that there's ones that are that long is because they made all these side games on, like, 3DS and the PSP, and then there's, like, a Vita game, and I never played any of the side games, but apparently they made it even more complicated, so...
Dream Drop Distance, right? Isn't that one of them?
Yeah, there's all kinds of them, and I never played any of the... Except for Chain of Memories on the Game Boy or something. I played that one, but...
Kingdom Hearts Pi 3.14159. Yeah.
And that's so confusing too. Like, unless you're really in the know and you follow the series, like, what is that? Nobody knows what that means. They have a Kingdom Hearts 2.8, but there's also a 2.5, because that's the re-release of the two final mix. And final mix was the international version. It's like, oh my, okay, guys.
It's like you need a meta explanation for the game, the game titles themselves.
And it's a game that's based off of Disney movies and Final Fantasy-ish kind of stuff. Like, it's, how did y'all, like, make that so convoluted when it's like Snow White showing up or whatever?
I mean, I will say, not that there aren't details that would be important to know, but honestly, the basic thing that's happening is, in the universe of Kingdom Hearts, there's a thing called Kingdom Hearts that somebody's trying to unlock the power of, and it, at one point, it gets corrupted by the darkness, it's called, which are the big enemies. You're really just trying to defeat the darkness with the light. It's super, you know, if I had to say the basic, very generic version of it, that's what it is. And the Keyblade helps seal away the darkness in realms or whatever. So that's,
I mean, like, I feel like if you just threw Geralt in there and some nudity, you'd have everything.
That's the greatest game ever made.
Yeah. I feel like he's gonna pop up at any point. Just be like, I'm the Witcher.
Silver.
Yeah. On that note, Kingdom Hearts Witcher crossover. We'll leave it there. Thank you guys for being here for your reflections on E3, and general thanks to everybody for hanging out for E4 2018. This is the final E4 episode, but we will be talking E3 probably for the next several weeks still, because honestly, there's probably not going to be a lot of other news over the next several weeks. But we had a good time. We love it, as always. We dig it, and I'll let Jamie share a little bit too, because he always likes sharing at the end of our E3 weeks as well.
If you are not aware, we are going to try and go to a weekly show, like, next week.
Yep.
So, there's that.
That starts soon.
So, Spider, if you're behind, you better catch up, baby, because you're about to get a whole lot of us.
You guys could just record the show now and then play it next week.
Ah.
Hey, that's a good thought. But, you know what I learned while I was there? It's an amazing thing because I hear his phone go off because I'm right next to him. And I can't see the text, but I can have some idea of what it says, which is, what the crap are you guys doing in there? And so the reason we're going to an hour is because we've got a few more things to deal with now that we previously didn't have, so which we're happy about.
Yes.
I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It scares the crap out of me that we're going to an hour on a weekly basis. But I'm very excited. Very, very excited. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And also, before we wrap up, he's not expecting this, but guys, if you have a chance to check it out, Cabbage over there has a movies podcast is pretty good called Currently Considered. And I've listened to a couple of episodes, and him and Rafe are pretty good. I like it.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. I was not expecting that at all.
He's doing that artistic thing where he doesn't really
No,
it's good stuff.
Well, thanks. That's glad somebody listened and liked it. Yeah, we just talked about Hereditary, the new movie out, horror movie, and then we also talked a little about Han Solo in the new episode. So you can find, I think it's on everything. It's on iTunes. It's on Google Play. It's hosted on SoundCloud. If you just search Currently Considered, you should be able to find it. So thanks.
I listened to a couple episodes, and I'm like, dude, you need to tell people who you are. He's like, hey, we really don't do that.
It's because I kind of did that in the new episode. I was like, we're just a couple guys that like to do this, talk about movies, because we don't work in the industry. We're not filmmakers, even though we probably like to be, like everybody, but we watch a lot of movies. We like to talk about it. We said, hey, why not record it and put it up? And so that's what it is. There's just not a lot to say that. Are not a lot to say there, so.
It is a really good show, and I like it. Everybody should go listen to it.
Thank you.
If you want more of this guy, that's where to get it.
For some reason, I don't know why you would.
Well, you know, we've had how many years of a Cabbage, and
for some reason, I'm still allowed on.
Well, you know what cemented your legacy, and then we'll wrap up?
Oh, no.
You know what cemented your legacy as the Cabbage?
I don't know.
The segment about the lines.
Oh, my God.
Remember the segment about the lines? That is my favorite segment ever. There needs to be a Lines remix. That's all I'm saying.
A remix? I know I still have all those. Again, we'll say cringy again. Cringy old segments I sent when I was like 13. So
yes,
it's that long ago. So
the Cabbage in his youth was incredibly cringy.
Absolutely,
you really were a random dude, but it was fun, and you're still here, so that's awesome.
All right,
we dig it.
So to Spider and to Josh, do you guys have anything before we wrap up?
There was no Borderlands 3 either. I just realized that, too.
Oh, man. I'm all bummed.
Hey, I made the right comment.
But screw you, E3. That's what Spider's saying.
On a positive note to end it then, wrapping up all the things we talked about, I love the Devolver Digital press conference.
Yes.
They're always, slapstick and taking the piss out of everyone else. It's always fun.
Yeah.
And they announced some good games as well.
Isn't that what it was called? Loot box coin.
Yeah.
Fantastic. The Devolver Digital show is really fun. The only game of note they had was the My Friend Pedro or whatever it is that looks ridiculous over the top. But nobody was there for games for the Devolver Digital show. It's gore and slapstick and yeah.
But otherwise, no, it was great. Enjoying the coverage. So yeah, I'll look forward to listening to the rest of it this week.
Yeah. Everybody has some catching up to do. We understand.
Yeah.
It's a lot of content in a very short amount of time. By the way, still Patreon content going up for the next about week. We still have videos to schedule today, I think, for about the next week. So lots more content on Patreon again, like we mentioned at the top of the show. If you are not a contributor on Patreon, this is a really, really good time of year to sign up for it because there's tons and tons and tons of content right now. So, yeah, GamingUncensored.com, Patreon link right there at the top of the page.
And because we're going to an hour, I can't believe every time I say it, I'm like, what? Really? Because we're going to an hour, we desperately need segments. segments. GamingUncensored@gmail.com or the voicemail line at
509-GAME-210.
We've got to have them because if we're going to do an hour, at least 10 minutes of that needs to be taken out.
I miss Derek the drunk dude.
Isn't that the truth?
But he's still alive.
Yes.
And I know that because it's just fun. You have to say with Derek that he's still alive because you were always worried about that. But I've been friends with him on Xbox for years. We never played games. We never say anything. But I always see him playing stuff, so unless somebody's using his account, he's still being probably drunk and Derek. So.
I have him on Facebook, and I believe he has a daughter, which if you can imagine that.
Yeah, like, just kidding.
Like a 10 or 12-year-old daughter, so that's kind of amazing. Derek, come back!
We need him on this. We need him on the round table. Come
be
on.
Fantastic. Yes. With that said, I think we're good. Anything else, Jamie?
That's it, sir.
This has been E4 2018. We've had a blast. We hope you've enjoyed it as well. Thank you, Cabbage Josh Spider, and the sexy sidekick and little girl who took off a little while ago because, honestly, she didn't care that much about our show. but everybody for joining us to talk about E3. Had a great time. We'll be back soon with our new format regular show, so I'll be looking forward to that. But for now, we are out.
Brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.